Even anthropologists need to stay in shape. So with the weather being so nice today, I figured I'd try one of these golf cart bike things and immediately wished that they offered an electric version, totally forgetting that the point was to exercise. Breaking a sweat within the first few minutes and dreading that the path that I chose had a slight incline, it got me thinking about how spoiled I was and how much more difficult transportation must have been in ancient times. The oldest constructed roads discovered to date are in former Mesopotamia, now known as Iraq. The stone-paved streets there date back to about 4000 BC in cities like Ur and Babylon. The ancient Sumerians had fertile, irrigated soil and plenty of mud, which they turned into bricks, which they used in construction of ziggurats, which are pyramid-shaped temple structures, but they also used them in their roads. The actual origins of the Sumerian civilization in Mesopotamia are still debated today, but archaeological evidence indicates that they established roughly a dozen city-states about 6,000 years ago. These usually consisted of a walled metropolis dominated by a ziggurat, which haven't held up through time as well as the stone pyramids of Egypt or China, but one can still make out the tiered shape construction associated with the Sumerian religion. Homes were also constructed from mud bricks, and complex irrigation canals were dug to harness waters from the Tigris and Euphrates for farming. Major Sumerian cities included Eridu, Ur, Nippur, Lagash, Kish, but one of the oldest and most sprawling was Uruk, a thriving trading hub that boasted 6 miles of defensive walls and a population of between 40,000 and 80,000. At its peak, around 2800 BC, it was most likely the largest city in the world, and mentioned in a recent video I did about Gilgamesh. I'll leave a link in the description for those that'd like to check it out. Most people have at least heard about the Epic of Gilgamesh, and how he was a hero in Sumerian mythology. He was also immortalized as a constellation, and most scholars agree that he was also a flesh and blood king that appears in the Sumerian Kings List, which is a sequential compilation of every Mesopotamian ruler, their supposed reign lengths, and the locations of the kingship. The belief is that kingship was handed down by the gods and could be transferred from one city to another. One aspect of the Kings List that is contested is the unusually long lifespans and lengthy reigns of the prehistoric rulers. But this is similar to other mythologies, including the Bible, where lifespans seem to have been much longer thousands of years ago and became progressively shorter with time. So the pre-dynastic antediluvian rulers, in a biblical context, would have existed before the time of Noah, before the deluge or great flood. It becomes interesting when we compare this to the Egyptian record of their pharaohs. Manetho was an Egyptian historian and priest who lived during the 3rd century BC. According to Manetho, the total number of years covered by the Egyptian Kings List equals 36,525, and that the rule of the demigods immediately follows the reign of the gods. Two things jump out at me with this number. The most obvious being that for 365 and one quarter days in a year, or 365.25. The second thing is that the time span closely matches the fossil record for the era of Cro-Magnon man, which is the first hominin specimen on Earth that can be called modern human. Everything else that came before Cro-Magnon in an anthropological context is considered anatomically correct, but not modern, which is a distinction I've covered many times before in prior videos for those interested. It seems that if there was an era of the gods, or Atlanteans from a mythical worldwide empire, it would be those Cro-Magnon that fit the description. One of the most fascinating names on the Sumerian kings list is of a ruler that most people seem to know the least about, as the ancient clay tablet includes Sumer's lone female monarch in the form of Kubaba, who allegedly took the throne in the city-state of Kish sometime around 2500 BC. Very little is known about Kubaba's reign or how she came to power, but the list credits her with making firm the foundations of Kish and forging a dynasty that lasted 100 years. I've pointed this out in a prior video, which I'll also include in the description, but it's worth mentioning again that when we hear the name Kubaba, we can't help but make the connection to the Kaaba stone in Mecca, the large cube that is at the center of worship in Islamic faith. Prior to the Prophet Muhammad, Mecca was a seat of worship for Allat in pre-Islamic Arabia, a goddess worshipped under various associations throughout the entire peninsula, including Mecca, where she was worshipped alongside Manat and Al-Uzza. Allat can be identified with the Babylonian Ishtar, the Sumerian Inanna, and the Phoenician Astarte, or Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth is mentioned in the Hebrew Bible as a foreign, non-Judahite goddess. It is clear that there's been an effort by the Abrahamic traditions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam to eradicate the goddess from worship, even though all three of these faiths have incorporated much from the pagan religions that came before them. That said, the temple of Astarte, especially in Sidon, was sacred to Europa. Sidon is a city in Lebanon, between Tyre to the south and Beirut to the north, and Europa was a Phoenician princess whom Zeus, having transformed himself into a white bull, abducted and carried to Crete, home to the Minoan civilization, which is credited as being Europe's first advanced civilization. DNA from 4,000-year-old Minoan skeletons published in the journal Nature Communications show that they match modern Europeans, and DNA analysis has also shown that blue-eyed, fair-skinned settlers inhabited the Levant some 6,500 years ago. So the legends, myths, and religions that attribute a Middle Eastern origin for Europe are backed by archaeological, genetic, and fossil evidence. Of course, there have been efforts through the centuries made by some European organizations and secret societies that trace their European ancestry back to the Middle East to reclaim elements of their ancient goddess religion, such as the Knights Templar, who were instrumental in the Crusades, a series of religious wars which in the medieval period had the objective of recovering the Holy Land from Islamic rule. This knowledge is also understood by the Freemasons, who some have claimed secretly worship Lucifer. But in an ancient context, Lucifer simply means light-bearer, and in ancient times was a name given to the sacred mystery schools of the goddess. As for the Templars, they became very wealthy, built massive cathedrals in Europe, many of which included the Black Madonna. As I've stated before, this has nothing to do with skin color, as the color black is directly associated with the ancient goddess religion, as is the cube shape, which is the shape that symbolizes the earth, and the goddess is associated as Mother Earth, or sometimes called Gaia. The worship of a cube stone was especially prominent during times when idol worship was outlawed and punishable by death. Attached to the Kaaba, or the big Muslim cube in Mecca, is the Black Stone of Mecca, or Kaaba Stone, which I've already discussed and linked to the goddess Allat, and she also was associated with the Greek goddess Athena, the Roman Minerva, and others. Their symbols were often lions, crescents, and the Morning Star, which can be linked to the planet Venus, the Light Bearer, or Lucifer, which the Freemason King James incorporated into the Bible. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those who are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Please hit the like button, subscribe for future updates. And as always, I look forward to reading your comments. So please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.